Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, the regular guy in this duo, and joining us is lifelong pastor and the man that gives us wisdom, John Bell. How are you, John?
Doing really well, Dean. How about you?
All right, great to hear. You know, John, the subject that we're going to talk about today confuses a lot of people, I think, because I know people have come to me and asked me about this, and in certain times, you know, it's sometimes people think it's just about giving financially. First of all, can you, before I give you the question, can you define what is stewardship in the life of a Christian?
Well, the easiest way is if you've ever been on any kind of boat, especially a large boat, there's always a steward. Right? This is the steward of the boat. That's how we, and that word, it's an old word, so we're not used to it anymore. In fact, another word that would come close to help us understand would be flight attendants, especially women, were called, the men were called stewards, and the women were called stewardesses. And the whole idea was, whether it was the steward on a ship or steward in the air, they were working on behalf of the passengers to make sure that the passengers had everything they need. They were safe. They were secure. If they were thirsty, they could get something to drink. So that's the idea. That helps us.
Yeah, that's perfect. I never heard it described that way. And that really is easy for comprehension. That brings the clarity so simple.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So as a steward works on behalf, so here's what's going on. The steward is working to make the passengers safe, secure, and have their needs met. But they're actually working. They're not working for the passengers. They're working on behalf of the airlines or the ship's company. So the best word I would say today for steward, in fact, some translations now use this word instead of steward, is manager. So think about what a manager does. A manager doesn't own the company, and a manager is not one of the workers per se. A manager is that middle person between management and employees. And the manager...
All right, so before you get too far, let's go ahead first. Let me give you the question, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so what does it mean to be a good steward today?
Okay, so that's good. So Luke 12, here's what Jesus says about it. He says, and remember, we are managers on behalf of God, and God has given us all different gifts.
What do we manage, John? What do we manage?
We manage our gifts, our abilities. We manage the gospel. We manage faith. We were originally supposed to manage the whole world, the whole universe. If you read Genesis 1, 26 through 28, man was given responsibility to govern. And we essentially are kings and queens, but we are here on behalf of God. So here's what the Lord says in Luke 12, 42 and 43. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward or manager whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. So, we're managers in many different ways. Parents, for instance, are stewards over children. The amazing thing, one of the things I tell people is, as a parent, remember, those kids don't belong to you. They actually belong to God. They're gifts of God on loan to you, for you to manage in the best way. You're to be wise, you're to be careful, you're to be kind, you're to develop them, you're to grow them, you're to teach them things about the Lord. And people people have different areas. So I would say a steward is someone who is given gifts and abilities and resources and then put into various arenas, various opportunities, various situations. And then we have to remember that whatever we're put into, I always remember when I was a pastor of a church, I would never say, this is my church, because it was never my church. It's God's church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He purchased it. But I was there on behalf of Jesus Christ, and my responsibility was to manage and to steward over that church, along with other gifted people, along with the whole group. And part of what I was supposed to be doing was helping stewards discover their gifts and abilities, teaching them the gospel so that they could then take the gospel and they could use it, teaching them to be wise and careful and kind, teaching them how to develop other people, because I was doing that on behalf of the Lord. And all of us do that. We do that, as I said. The first stewardship we have, Dean, is our own bodies, right? So when you're growing up, one of the things you have to learn along the way is to take care of your body. You have to steward your body. You have to steward yourself. You have to steward mm-hmm. your emotions. You have to mm-hmm. you have to steward your resources. You have to learn how to save. You have to learn how to invest. In fact, that's a really big one. One of the things that God expects from us is to take what He has given to us and to make more out of it. There's
parable of the talent.
Well, there's two. There's actually two.
All right, I'll let
yeah,
you
there, there's the parable of no, there's the parable of the talents, and there's the parable of the minas. So the minas are the denarii. So the parable of the minas is in Luke chapter 19, and the parable of the talents is in Matthew chapter 25. So in Luke 19, a nobleman or a king, a master, is about to go to a distant country. So before he goes, he calls in 10 of his slaves, and he gives each one of them the same amount. So each one says, each one is given 10 minas. That's what it says in the text. So 100 minas altogether. So each one receives the same. But over in Matthew 25, he calls in three of his servants, and one gets five talents, one gets two, and one gets one. And here's what he says. He says, do business with this until I return. Because it's important as stewards, as managers, we're going to be held accountable. You know, heaven is not a communist state. We don't all get the same. We all get heaven. We all get eternal life. But each of us is going to have different responsibilities in heaven, and it has to do with how we develop our gifts here. I mean, it's going to be wonderful for everybody, but we should be learning right now how to invest our lives. In Matthew 25, what's interesting is the one who was given five goes out and doubles it. He gets five more. The one who was given two goes out and he doubles it. Now, when the master comes, and here's the key, he distributes the gifts. One's given five and one's given two and one's given one. He says, each according to his own ability. So we don't all have the same gifts, but we can all get the same reward, because in Matthew 25, the one who doubled five and the one who doubled two got the same exact responsibility, the same authority. You know, one, he says, and you are to enter into the joy of your Lord, and you're to be rewarded, and those two receive the same. In Luke 19, the one who produces 10, he says, you are to be given authority over 10 cities. And the one who has five, he says, and you are to be over five cities. So it corresponds with the investment that they both made.
Now, wait a minute. I remember that the least productive, he was told that give your talents to the one that did the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're ahead of me there. I was just about to say that.
Okay.
So in both instances, there is a servant who goes and buries his talent. In other words, he doesn't invest the resources that he's been given.
Got it.
So the resources would be the truth, you know, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Bible, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the stewardship of our talent. You know, it's like I've been given the gift of speaking. There are people that probably should be doing more teaching and more telling and more preaching, but they have put it on the shelf. They've gone in and done other things. Well, that's the person who's buried their talent. They're not using it. They're not investing it. And here's what it says why they do it, by the way. It says the three reasons that you find in both texts are, one, they're ignorant. They don't know their master. And because they don't know their master, number two, they're afraid of their master. They live in fear of their master. And then three, they're just downright lazy. You know, they're lazy people. So ignorance, laziness, and fear. And that causes them to bury. And the idea, here's the idea in both texts, Dean. Both texts are people who profess to know Jesus Christ, but they really never take what Christ offers to them and invest it. And the reason they do that is because they're not really believers. So what they have, to whom much is given, much is required. And so what they have been given is actually taken away from them and given to the one that the responsibility that they could have had is actually that responsibility is transferred to the one who maximized his gift.
All right. So I've been waiting to ask you this. All right. So, and again, now, should I read into that? Or should that tell me that if I have a gift and if I don't use it, if I have a blessing and I abuse it, can that mean, should I read into that, that God can take that or those things away?
Well, so one of two things is going on. If you're not investing, you may just be lazy and slothful. And you'll get into the kingdom, but you'll have very little responsibility in the kingdom.
Yeah, but John, you know, but some people might like that idea. They're like, you know what? Let me just get in, and I don't want, and I don't want responsibility. Mm-hmm. But my point is this. Okay, let me go from the very beginning. Say that I was blessed with a home, and then I abuse that home. I don't upkeep that home. I don't. Same thing with a body. Okay. Now, you know, I've been losing weight and I've been really, you know, the Holy Spirit has literally shook me and said, you can't eat like this. So, you know, finally at 60 years old, I'm realizing, well, that's got to change. And it doesn't have to change for me. It has to change because I'm not a good steward of the blessing of this vehicle, this body that God's given me for the on earth. So can God take blessings away if we're not good stewards to the blessings that he gives us?
Well, what happened, again, Dean, so one of the things you said was really important. You said the Holy Spirit, you're 60, you're just now really starting to take care of your body. Right. I mean,
well, as a young man, I did.
I know. But, what I'm saying, though, is one of the things that was really clear is even though you were not heeding what God was saying, God kept speaking to you. Well, that's evidence that you are a true believer. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit keeps saying. The Holy Spirit never gets weary of reminding you of your responsibility.
I remember once you told me decades and decades ago, you said God will keep teaching regardless if you're not listening.
Yeah, even if you're not listening, he's still there, right?
He's still teaching.
Yeah, and that's one of the ways that you know you're a believer. You know you're a believer because it's like, you know, other people may be doing what you're doing, but they're not hearing what you're hearing. Hmm. And the ones that are doing it and not hearing what you're hearing, they're unbelievers, and they may get the joy of sin for a moment, you know, whether it's doing something you should be doing or not doing something you should be doing something you shouldn't be doing, or not doing something that you should be doing. Either way, God's going to convict that person who belongs to the Father. You know, who truly has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So the person, you know, again, this is a cautious thing, but the person that has no ambition to serve Jesus Christ probably is not a believer.
I'll say that again.
The person who has no ambition at all to take the gifts that they have been given by God and to serve Jesus Christ is probably not a believer. Yeah, I mean, often...
You don't hear that at all from the pulpit now.
Yeah. Yeah, because everybody's just trying to get people over the finish line. And it's like, I tell people, you didn't get over the finish line. You got over the starting line. You know, what you're called the finishing line, you just got in the race. That's all. Mm-hmm.
So let's be real clear here. When you say serving, what could that mean?
Yeah, it's the whole idea of whatever gift, you know. So this is how it's always been defined for me: time, talent, and treasure. So I have time. How am I using my time? You know, my binge watching some television series that's the latest and the greatest thing over the weekend. That's time. What am I doing with my time? Or am I making the most? We're told to make the most of the time because the time is near. We never know when Jesus can come. So am I making the most out of my time? You know, I'm going to be 71 in a week, right? A lot of people at my age, just like they've cashed in. They've done so what is called retirement. Well, you know, I'm not going to retire. Why? Because I still have time and I want to make the most of my time. I'm not at the pace I used to go at. I can say yes or no to things nowadays, but you know, I want to say yes to anything God gives me an opportunity to do. So that's part of the reason we're doing what we're doing right now. So time, talent, you know, people have different talents. Some people love, my wife loves working behind the scenes. So I've heard her speak. She can speak, but it's not something she really enjoys doing. She has a real talent. She's incredibly kind. She's a wonderful servant. She's a wonderful helper. So each of us have different gifts, and we can make the most of those gifts. And again, back to the talents. The one had five and the one who had two. It would have been very easy for the one who had two to look at the one with five and say, how come he gets five and I only get two?
Right, right.
Right? But the whole idea is just take the ones that God has given to you. Take the talent. Take the information that you have. If you can teach 1,000 people, then teach 1,000 people. If you can teach a small group of children, faithfully do that. You know, I had wonderful Sunday school teachers when I was growing up. And you know what? They were there every week. And they were faithful to God, and they were faithful to me. And because of that, you know, that was part of my learning of the Bible. So Take what you have and be faithful with it. Take what you have and improve on it. You know, it's we're supposed to, it's not what we are initially given. It's what we do with what we've been given. And then the last is our treasure, you know, and our treasure is, you know, what do you do with your money? What do you do with your, with the blessings that God has given to you? Do you use the money that you have to just hoard and accumulate? You know, we live in a very materialistic world, and it's very easy to just want more and more and more and more and more and never be satisfied. But we're supposed to take it, and just like time and talent, we're supposed to invest our money. I'm very careful who I give my money to, because I want to invest in ministries the way I would invest in the stock market.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I want to invest in ministries that aren't just, you know, keeping the lights on.
Yeah, we're not reckless with those resources.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right, John, I got to stop you there. We're a little bit past our mark, so we're just going to do just a really fast little bit of housekeeping here. If you like what you heard, we ask you to share it. Talk to your friends about it. And if you want to hear more, you can go to our website at www.amazingmenministries.com. Choose the series button, and you have a bunch of choices there. So on behalf of lifelong pastor John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale, saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to talking and sharing again soon. Have a great day.